In this section, I'm going to share with you the High Performance Instructional Leadership Model, which you may have seen in my book, Now We're Talking 21 Days to High Performance Instructional Leadership. And it's this model that most distinguishes the practice of classroom walkthroughs that I teach at the Principal Center from the other models that you may have seen out there. So again, in a normal year, you might have read the book and followed that model and seen those elements. And we're going to start by examining each of those elements of the High Performance Instructional Leadership Model. And we're going to consider the impact of leaving out any of those key elements from the model. And we're going to take that as our baseline, right? So if you're able to get into classrooms this year for at least a few weeks, for at least a part of the year, if things have a semblance of normalcy for a time, we don't want to get away from that model. We want to continue to take advantage of the benefits of getting into classrooms in the way that I describe in the book, and having feedback conversations with teachers. So let's jump right into that. And then throughout the remainder of the Virtual Instructional Leadership Challenge, we will talk about what we can do even if we can't do that, even if we can't get into classrooms. But when we can, here is what I believe are the key elements of an effective approach. And again, you'll find this in the early chapters of Now We're Talking. I believe that for instructional leaders to have the greatest possible impact on teacher practice, we need to be in the habit of making classroom visits every single day that have these seven characteristics. Number one, they need to be frequent. Number two, they need to be brief visits. They need to be substantive. They need to be open-ended. They need to be evidence-based, criterion, referenced, and conversation oriented. So let's talk about each of those and what happens to our practice if any of those elements are missing. First, if we're not able to get into classrooms frequently, and I recommend 3 times a day, which will put you into classrooms about 500 times a year, if we're not able to make it into classrooms frequently, then a lot of this just becomes hypothetical, right? And I think in most of our professional experience, perhaps you've been trying this for years, you've tried to get into classrooms, maybe you've made the announcement at the beginning of the year that this was the year that you were going to get into classrooms, and you know, the veteran teachers look at each other and say, yeah, sure, you know, my last 5 principals have all said that. You know, the best of intentions can quickly become hypothetical if we're not able to put them into practice frequently. So I want to give you a specific target for these instructional leadership interactions, whether you do them in person or whether they're happening virtually in a modified form. I believe you need to be in classrooms about 3 times a day, 3 different teachers, because for most schools, with the number of teachers that you likely supervise, 3 a day will get you around to everyone that you supervise roughly every 2 weeks. And that means you are having a substantive interaction with every teacher that you supervise at least 15 times a year. It's going to have an impact if you get into classrooms frequently. But if you slow down, if you allow your pace to slip a bit, and you only get into classrooms, say, 2 or 3 times a week, well, then it's likely that teachers will not even notice that you showed up, and you're not going to be in classrooms much more than the required formal observations would have you in classrooms. So this has got to be frequent. Think on the order of 500 times a year so that those walkthroughs, those instructional leadership interactions are not just hypothetical. In order for them to be frequent, in order for you to stick with this, those visits need to be brief. It needs to be sustainable and doable and simple for you to get into classrooms. And if you give yourself this big long form to fill out, or if you give yourself a big write-up to do that's going to take you an hour at home after your kids are in bed, it is going to be unsustainable. You simply cannot do that every single day, 3 times a day for your entire career. It's got to be a simple process, and it's got to not have a lot of homework for you, and it's got to not take a lot of time in the moment or a lot of time for teachers. So we're talking about visits that are 5, 10, 15 minutes at most. So it's got to be brief if it's going to be sustainable. We don't want to end up with something that we start strong but then fizzle out because we simply cannot continue to devote the time and energy to it. Third, we don't want them to be so brief that they're pointless, right? We don't want to just like make an appearance and wave and move on and have people wonder, why does he do that every day? Why does she show up and pop her head in and look at what's on the board and then say, nice to see you, and then leave? Like, what would be the point of investing all that time to show up frequently but not really have an impact? We need our conversations with teachers to be substantive so that they're not just fluff. So we're going to share later in this module, we're going to talk about how to get started with this in a way that might feel a little bit like fluff, a little bit like just making an appearance and breaking the ice that first time. But after that first cycle of visits, we really need to start to make these substantive so that they're valuable to you and they're valuable to the teachers that you supervise. Fourth, these visits need to be open-ended. If this is all about filling out a form or checking a box or satisfying some central office stakeholder who wants you to get into classrooms, it's not going to be sustainable and it's not going to be valuable. So we need to get away from the feedback forms, from the check boxes, from the electronic forms, from ticking things off on an electronic app. We really need to make this about an evidence-based conversation with the teacher about what's happening in their classroom, real or virtual, and about the decisions they're making as part of their professional practice. We need to get away from filling out forms and really truly be open-ended in these conversations. Fifth, we need to make sure that we're not just chit-chatting about philosophy, right? We're not just having philosophical conversations about teaching and learning or about students. We need to make sure that we're talking about actual teacher practice and the concrete things that we see students doing in the classroom. We need to look at student work. We need to talk about student misconceptions and look at the moves that teachers are using and the plans that teachers are developing and the resources that they're curating in order for these conversations to actually change practice. Because there's a big temptation to just be philosophical, right? To just think big picture and to talk about the kids and to talk about things other than practice. You know, teachers sometimes want us not to talk about their practice, and we've got to make sure that we have an evidence-based approach in these conversations. We also have to make sure, number six here, that we're not just talking about what happened without any kind of shared reference point. So again, later in the challenge, we will talk about developing a shared instructional framework. Without that shared framework, a lot of this gets reduced to just second guessing, to just opinion, right? Oh, you use this technique and I personally would have used this other technique. What do you think about that? Like a lot of those kind of second guessing conversations with teachers end up not being very valuable and end up not really impacting their practice. So we really want to work from a shared set of expectations, shared language, shared vocabulary, because that's what's going to move practice forward, not only with the individual teacher, but across the organization under your guidance as an instructional leader. And then finally, this does need to be a conversation, right? This is not simply an activity that we go through the motions on to satisfy some stakeholder. This is not simply a requirement. This is not simply an expectation. This is something that really needs to be authentic for both parties. It needs to be something that you engage in to help teachers improve and something that you engage in to inform your own practice as a leader and decision maker. And of course, we want teachers to participate authentically in those conversations as well, so that we're not just both playing a role where, you know, as the leader, you know, I show up and I have to give a suggestion. So I give a suggestion and then the teacher has to smile and nod and say, okay, I'll be sure to do that. And then we both go our merry way and nothing really changes. This needs to be an authentic process, not simply a game that we play. So I want to ask you now to pull out your journal and reflect on these seven characteristics. How has your practice of classroom walkthroughs compared up to this point in your career with those seven characteristics of being frequent, brief, substantive, open-ended, evidence-based, criterion-referenced, and conversation-oriented? Which of those elements are present? And which of those elements are missing in your practice? Go ahead and write about that in your journal, and I will see you in our next section.